Hello, this is Adam Virgo, and you are listening to the V2 Football Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the V2 Football Podcast. I'm Anthony Kendrick, and as ever, I'm joined by Nick Davey.
Good evening.
And our guest this week is Nick Tanner.
Good evening. Tans, I've got to be called.
I'm sorry, yeah, we'll call you Tans. So Nick Tans used to play for Liverpool, Bristol Rovers, Swindon and Norwich, I believe. I know Nick Davey's got a few questions about your career, so I'll let Nick take it away.
I noticed you back in the start of your career, you're playing sort of non-league football with Bromley Heath, Frampton Rangers, and Mangotsfield United. Before moving to the Football League with Bristol Rovers. How big of a jump was it from playing in the non-league to into the Football League with Bristol Rovers?
It was actually the 80s. I've known all this because I'm doing my revision from my book, so I'm going through it. I've got to be honest, I've said it in the book as well. From somebody who sort of played, you know, every week with his mates, went out on a Friday night and played, you know, got £7 a week playing for Mangotsfield and then ended up playing at Bristol Rovers, it wasn't that much of a difference, honestly. It was obviously the training and stuff like that gets you fitter. One of the things I'm sure is the big bugbear at the moment is the grassroots football, you know, same grassroots football. And I didn't come through any academies. I just played with my mates all the way up through. And that's one of the things I'm trying to put over with the book. And I'm sure there's all these arguments now about academies and stuff. Just go and play with your mates. And if you're good enough, that's what I'll, that you'll, you, you know, somebody will spot you. As long as you're putting in your effort every week and you're good enough, somebody will spot you. And that's what happened to me. And some of the lads that ended up at Bristol Rovers were actually academy players at Bristol City or at Bristol Rovers as young kids. Didn't make it. Played a couple of years of non-league football and then got picked back up again. So it can happen, and you know, it's the best way of doing that for everybody, I think. Just let them play with your mates, enjoy it. I mean, who knows how good you're going to be when you're 8, 9 or 10, or what you're going to do in later life. So,
yeah,
you know, let them develop naturally with their friends, and I think that's how you get up. That's my opinion on it, all the way.
Yeah, no, I saw you did go on to make 107 appearances for Bristol Rovers. Have any fond memories from your time there?
Yeah, great. I mean, I supported him as a young lad after playing, you know, used to play every Saturday, so couldn't get a chance to go down and watch him because we were literally playing every one in there.
Yeah, sure.
Like, used to play Saturday afternoons, Saturday mornings if somebody wanted you in on Sunday mornings and stuff like that. So, but yeah, so we had some great times, and we, you know, that's what I said with the book in that, you get so many funny stories that it's a pity there wasn't social media around in them days. and the video referees and stuff like that. So, it'd be, you know, we had some brilliant games, especially against our horrible rival.
Yeah, and then with also Bristol Rovers, I did also read here that you actually scored on your debut against Bristol City. What was that like? I've got you a bit of a name already there at the club.
Yeah, well, I was still working at the time, which is, again, a rarity. So I went back to work, and the headline was on the paper, Tanner's just the job for Bob. And I got £5 perpetual money for actually playing in a game on the night. And I can always remember because it, literally, it's on YouTube now, you can find it. It's so fuzzy in the picture, but it's actually a very good goal. We cut in from the right-hand side and bent it in the top corner. And when I tell people that, they sort of laugh, and I go and have a look on YouTube. You can hardly see it, but it was, you can see that it was half decent goal, and then went back to work the next day. So it was just like brilliant for me, and then that was the start of it all, really. So
that's how
things can change, isn't it? That's how luck can change. You know, things happen.
I'll certainly be checking that out myself, and I'd advise all the listeners. What should our listeners sort of search on Google, the YouTube? Is it just a simple Nick Tanner goal versus Bristol City?
I think it's Gloucester Cup. It was called the Gloucester Cup.
Gloucester Cup goal.
Yeah, I'll try and get the link. Dig the link up. It's a pity we couldn't have somebody to digitally edit it. Get it proper.
I'll put the link in the description when we upload it.
Well, funny enough, when somebody wrote the fanzine and we were doing this research for the book, I asked them. I said, well, can you send me some stuff that you've got on the fanzine website so that we don't want to duplicate it? And the writer said, let's have a look what they got. He actually put a score from 45 yards, which is like the halfway line nearly. I don't know what game you were watching, but it wasn't that one. It was the corner of the box. Bent in from the corner of the box, and we said, oh, we better change that. I said, no, leave it. 45 is good.
So we've had a lot of guests on the show. I don't think anyone's had quite the jump as you've had from club to club, so non-league to Bristol Rovers, and then all the way up to Liverpool. What was that like?
Well, that's the funniest story ever, because I was actually going to Torquay, funny enough, and they finished just one place above the relegation the year before. So technically speaking, Liverpool were top of the whole league, and Torquay were bottom of the whole league. So I had the choice of the two. I was actually going to Torquay, and then I spoke to Kenny afterwards, and he said, "Well, Ron Yates, the scout, said, well, I can't believe he's going there. Let's get him up here. It's worth a punt." And that was it. As they say, it was history. So, but yeah, it's been chronicled many times. It's back in them days, they used to buy players from my ilk and much better players than me, and then you spend 2 or 3 years in the reserves learning your trade again. And then if you were good enough, you got in the first team. But as I said to people, is that because they were winning everything, you didn't expect to get in the team anyway. And back then, there wasn't massive squads. So, you had one sub or maybe two subs later on, but you only had one sub and they wouldn't take anybody extra away. So if you weren't in the 12, that's it, unfortunately.
I saw you played most of your regular football at Liverpool under Graham Souness. What was he like as a manager?
He was brilliant with us. He was brilliant with a load of young lads. He gave loads of us a chance. Stephen O'Manaman, Mike Marsh, Rob Jones, did Jamie Redknapp his full chance, Don Hutchison. He brought all these young lads through, which people seem to forget. Steve Harkness, the list keeps on. And he's put his hands up and he's admitted he should have kept some of the older lads as well. And I think if he would have kept some of the older lads, we'd have had a good chance of winning the league. But it's, like I just said just now, how do you keep people happy? And with the two subs and stuff like that, and it was very difficult for Graham. And I'm sure he said in many a times that if, back in his day, if somebody knocked on the door and said, I want to go, or so-and-so's on this money and all that, he'd just get shown the door. So he was doing exactly the same and just said to him, if you want to leave, you can go. Whereas he should have said, no, you can stay and play in the reserves, which would have probably been a better idea. But, then you wouldn't have got all of us young ones coming through, would you? So,
yeah.
Cat, 22. And he gave Robbie Fowler his debut.
I was going to say, what were the biggest names back when you were at Liverpool?
Well, I came into the team. I made my debut against Man City, and there was John Barnes, Ian Rush, Peter Beardsley, Jan Mulvey, Bruce Grobbelaar was in goal, Steve McMahon, Ray Houghton. So they were league champions. And I actually, like I said to people before, they forget that I actually played in the championship winning, the last championship winning team. I started 2 games and was on the bench for 5 or 6 more. So another claim to fame.
I was going to say, that might be a while as well with the current.
I think they'll be all right. I just think, I think like anybody says, there's such an up and down with all clubs. It's not just Liverpool, it's every club. 2 weeks ago, Chelsea were the worst team. They're going to blow it. Now they're back on form again. It's just a roller coaster. And social media doesn't help, does it? Let's be honest about it. I see some of the fans on there from all clubs. And they're tweeting during the game, oh, this is rubbish, that's crap, and he's rubbish, and he shouldn't be playing, he should be shot. 2 minutes later, when they score, you go on there, delete tweet, they're all on there going. Instead of analysing it, waiting until half time, and then, or waiting until the end of the game, and then having a full opinion, then they just do it during the game, and then people start throwing massive arguments. So I'm thinking, well, you can't be watching the game if you're tweeting all the time anyway, so.
Yeah, I think I've certainly learnt my lesson in the class.
I don't tweet during the game.
I think I've grown up a bit since then. or the fact that I just follow a club that hasn't done much wrong this season. I saw your only goal for Liverpool was against obviously the big rivals, Everton. Have you just got a knack of scoring against rivals? Or
that was definitely not 45 yards. That was like 45 inches, if that, I think. But went through big Neville's legs, Neville Southall's legs. And dubious goals committee might be out now, whether it went over the line or not, but it's in the paper, it's in history to say it went over the line, so I'm happy with that. I should have got the man from the Bristol Rovers fans in night, and it would have been 45 yards again, and that would have done me.
Everybody on this one on YouTube as well, or?
That, well, I don't know whether that one is, actually. That was on Match of the Day. So they're back in them days, isn't it? They used to keep the rights for it. Or yeah, I think there's something on Match of the Day, and they show it, but it is somewhere different. But like I said, I mean, the own goal versus Luton's probably more watched than that one. It's got a cracker own goal in front of the cop.
And then after Liverpool, you had a couple of months spells at Norwich and Swindon. What, any memories at either of those clubs, or is it pretty much just a...
No, they were good. They were actually during the time at Liverpool, where before Graham took over, and Kenny obviously let you go out. And I went and knocked on his door and said, there's no point in me like sitting here, can I go out on loan? So I went to Norwich first, which they were in the first division then. We had a good, decent run down there, and I ran a 5 or 6 games. Came back, I think they wanted to buy me, but Kenny said no, stay, and then I ended up at Swindon playing for Ozzy Ardiles, which was fun.
Yeah,
that was fun. There was no tactics, it was go out and play, that was it, Ozzy. Play out. I can always remember, he used to say the phrase of Digby, remember the ex-Man United keeper?
Yeah.
Just say, get it from the back, give it to Nick, play and do this and all that. You're thinking, that's the tactics, just go and play. It's brilliant. Nicky Hazard.
All around us, eh?
Yeah, well, that's what I said. If everyone played, it'd be all right.
It's all too complicated these days.
Yeah, that's what coaches do. That's why we were saying before, let kids go out and enjoy themselves at a young age, trying to coach them in different things. And I noticed Eddie Jones, the rugby league guy, was at Abdua, right, and he was saying the same. You can coach with this out of kids, you know, just let them go and enjoy themselves. Let them find their own way and let them, you know, discover what they want to do. But we coach. I don't think it's the right way myself, but...
No, that's it. And I think with the... well, I might be able to go out and play, but master the basics, really, and then everything else sort of becomes naturally as you move on to the opportunity for it. But,
the only thing I would say on that is, when I can always remember when you were at school and stuff like that, you would go away and try and practice with your mates. I would try and make myself better, so I could kick with both feet. People always said to me, how come you can kick with both feet? And I thought, well, that's... Any footballer that earns 20 million quid a week, what some of these earn, that can't kick with both feet, one shoe in my opinion.
Mm.
You know what I mean? They can't spend that bit of extra effort to go and practice with it, and they're talking about their tech. But imagine how much better they could be if they were both footed.
No, I think you're absolutely right, to be fair, but then it could get in the way of being a footballer in the sense that the glamour lifestyle of doing nothing and playing.
Exactly, yeah. You're right.
A final one for me. I saw you had to retire for a back injury. When did you sort of know your time was up? When about sort of make the decision, really?
Well, the actual term of it was sacroiliitis, which again is a back injury, but it's like you know in the bottom of your coccyx there's a gap between the two. It was that which was actually caused it in the end. But back in them days. I went to Graham Sooners sent me to. I went acupuncture. I went everywhere. So I had needles stuck out my legs and all that, all the different things. I had everything. Chiropractors, you know, when they put you in, they shunt you all around the place and different things.
Yeah.
And it was literally you were in absolute agony. Everything was fine. Oh, it's okay. You rest it for a couple of weeks and then you go right. Start training again. And as soon as you start trying to run, and this is what we were told later, is when the joint opens up, it's obviously giving you jib again, so you can't really stretch out. So it just. It's a case of having to give up, really. There's no way, there's no cure for it. What it is, a cure for it now. So it's just one of them things. So, like I said, easy come, easy go. I obviously disappointed to finish, but I had a good career. I did as much as I can. I did much more than a lot of people thought I could. So, you know, it only cost £20,000 when I went to Liverpool, so good value for money.
I think. That's all a bit from me, I think. So I'll hand this over back over to Anthony.
Brilliant. Cheers, mate.
Yeah, cheers, mate.
I just want to ask about the... you touched on it before about social media, the difference. What do you think of players using social media? Do you think that clubs should restrict it? Do you think... And also, what do you think of the difference, like with the interaction of the fans compared to back in your day?
I think players shouldn't be allowed to get involved with it if they're playing. Because it's like at work. Say you were at work. Let me say somebody didn't like you and you went on there and some of the spats you see on there going on now between players. Their employers are well within their rights, and I'm sure they can somewhere along the line, is to stop them from using it. I don't know whether anybody ever has. But there's no point because you can't win an argument on that.
Mm-hmm.
You just get a troll getting 20,000 people just saying he said this, he said that, and it's just a waste of time. You can't have your own opinion because too many people come at you. And I mean, I like Carragher and Gary Neville. I think they're brilliant on that. But just because they say something doesn't mean they say it's right.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. Do you think it would have changed you as a player, if social media was around in your day?
I don't think it would change you, because, I don't think a lot of people paid attention to it. I could always stand up. I don't mind anybody saying to me, you were crap, you were this, you should have done that. You could have, as long as they say it to my face and I can have give them a genuine reason about why. And then most of them turn around and go, oh, you're probably right. Sorry, I didn't realise that. And because they don't. They just hear one person saying a bad thing and then they all jump on the bandwagon.
Yeah.
And that, what social media does, it's not one person replying to an email. And unfortunately, the only way to get all these popularity states won is by getting loads of people agreeing with you. But don't mean you say you're right. I do co-commentary for Radio Merseyside, and I said on there, just because I'm giving my opinion, don't mean you say I'm right. It's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So don't, that's gospel, just because I said it, I thought he was bad or he was good. Have your own opinions on it. You can still watch the game yourself and not be swayed by somebody just because Graham Souness or Jamie Carragher says he was crap. Oh, yeah, he was. No, have your own opinion. That's what it's all about.
All right, fair enough. I want to ask about what you're doing now. You've mentioned your book, From a Field to Anfield, that comes out this summer, I believe.
From a Field to Anfield, which is the non-league, obviously from the non-league stuff, at Mangersfield, like Nick said before, all the way to Anfield. So that comes out, it's being written at the moment, it'll be out August time. And I think Jamie Vardy has obviously done it since and gone on and different people have. But I think back then it was it must have been one of the first people to ever do it. To go from, like you said before, it's a bit of a culture shock going from non-league all the way up through.
Mm-hmm.
But like you said in the email, talk about non-league football. I think there's more players in non-league football opportunity in our leagues rather than us going, oh, let's go and buy some foreigners all the time. Nothing against foreigners, but we need the better ones, not just mediocre ones coming through. That's why young kids aren't going to get a chance in the lower league clubs. I mean, like Bristol Rovers are a prime example. We need to filter all those through and make sure that we got all these kids coming through. Go and watch the non-league games. There's not a lot of difference between the Championship and our second division, or the National League and the lower division, the third division. There's not a lot of difference. If you didn't know who was playing, you wouldn't see a lot of difference.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that gap, that you say it's quite small now, do you think that's smaller than it was back in your day?
Yeah, definitely. But that's what I'm saying. You could go and pick up. If you're a half-decent scout, say a Championship club, you can take a chance on a second or third division player or non-league player. You can at Premiership level, but they won't do it. And it wouldn't happen now. I wouldn't have thought anybody's ever signed when they'd gone into the team within a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. They have to come up through divisions to get the experience. But there are decent players in all the leagues. It's just finding them. And that's what I said, just giving them the opportunities. And you have got to be in the right place at the right time. No two ways about it. But there's a stigma in this country that you've got to be a certain sort of player. We need a big striker, we need this and all that, rather than just looking at a player for what he is. So many different systems nowadays, nobody knows who plays where, does it?
Yeah, no, that's true. I want to ask as well, you do quite a few events, you host events and stuff like that. You want to tell us a bit about those?
I hosted one, I'm not ever doing any again.
Oh, right, okay.
I was trying to do 25 jobs. I look after people when they came. I enjoy the meeting and greeting people and having a few beers with them and probably having too many beers with them, but you know what I mean? That where you can have a bit more of an interaction with them and letting the professionals do it on the stage. So I organise them, get everybody together. It's mainly Liverpool ones. We've looked at branching out, but obviously stick to what you're good at. And the older lads, I think there's some of the stories they come up with are absolutely fantastic and never heard before half of them. So it's good to get them on stage, and then we try and help charities out along the way if we can. And the next one is May the 25th, which is the 40th anniversary of Liverpool's first ever European Cup in Rome.
All right, that's great. Can I ask what particular charities you get involved with, just out of interest?
Obviously, with my dad passing away of prostate cancer, we've done prostate cancer. I've got a dog from the Bristol Dogs Home, so we did the RSPCA, and we did Charlie's Chance, we did that one in Liverpool. And obviously, we thought everybody went across to America and had the treatment, everybody thought he was cured, but obviously he needs to go back up for more treatment, which is devastating. And then our next one is for Save Our Katie, which is a young girl again who's having treatment. We got to send all our, again, we can go on for hours and hours, I'm not a politician, but we seem to have to send all our patients with cancer over to America or Germany. I've got a friend who needs to get raise money to go to Germany, so I try and help as many people as I can, to be honest. So, as you can see on all the posters, I try and put below. As much as you can do. But like you said at the start, you can't help everybody. Unfortunately, I wish we could.
Mm-hmm. No, that's fantastic. That's really good to hear, I'm sure. Also, you can follow Nick Tanner on Twitter at NickTanner799 and check out NickTanner.com as well.
That's it?
Yeah, you've been a great guest. Thanks a lot for your company, Nick Tanner. And also, Nick Davey. It's good night for me and good night for my guests. Good night.
What, man? Cheers, Nick.